Well, good evening, everyone. It's we're together for another campfire conversation. It is February 4th, and John and Sam with myself are doing this campfire conversation with you. And as you know from the emails, I take it you read them. That's why you're here, even though we do it every Thursday night almost at 6 o'clock Mountain Time. Tonight, we really just wanted to kind of – we wanted to mention – some stories of some of our base camp and Secret Guard members that are really just kind of taking steps of faith and desire to walk into what's before them, what God has put on their heart in terms of an idea or a compelling desire or a vision of something. And so, and we kind of realize that there's more going on that most of us know. Now, we're going to name some things that we know about. But we don't know everyone's, and we don't know the full extent of what they're doing. So as we mention some of these, we would really love for you to either put on the chat box what it is you're pursuing and how's it going, and we'll get this ball rolling in just a second. Or for you to get on the phone with us briefly and tell us what it is you're doing, and we may have some questions for you. But we really kind of want this to be a night of fun and inspiration, of saying, man, I had no idea so many people were doing so many things. Whether you consider it small or big, it really doesn't matter. It's just that we're pursuing God and pursuing what he's put on our heart. And we'll mention our own. So, and also I want to say, I don't want you to feel like, oh, I could never get on the phone and tell you what I'm doing or put it on the chat box, because that would feel like bragging. Like talking about myself. This is what we want to do, is to mention these things to inspire each other. So don't think that. Don't hold back. John and Sam and I will be talking about the things that we're pursuing and what we're doing right now. So, again, there is probably more going on than any of us have realized. And we are to stir each other towards love and good deeds. And this is one of the ways that we do this. So, any other thoughts, Sam and John, as we start into this?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to reinforce that it's not bragging. It's actually an encouragement we all need. Because I think the idea of calling is so foreign to us. If we grew up in the world, the idea of a God's calling is foreign to us. And if we grew up in the church, the idea of a calling, the way we believe it's biblical, it's foreign to us. And therefore, we constantly need reminders and refreshment, and I think we need examples. Because mm-hmm. part of the reason it's so different is everybody's story and everybody's way to live it out is so radically different. That's why Isaiah looks different than King David, and King David looks different than Saul or than Samuel. I mean, every life looks different, but that's the way it should be. But we need the encouragement of you guys. So you're not bragging. You're helping us. You really are. We want your help. We need your help. We need your encouragement.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that was my little guilt trip.
You are good at those.
You
are good at those. So I'll tell you what. Let me start with one who is not on the phone yet, because those who are on the phone could actually be sharing some things with us themselves. And if we know something about you, we'll share it. Of course, it'll be gracious and it'll be inspiring. So let me start with one. Yvette Bone is not on the phone yet. But she sent me an email just talking more about what she's pursuing. And I love the fact that I think back in the fall, early fall, she started to pursue a master's degree in counseling at the Seattle School. I believe that's the one that Dan Allender started.
Yep.
Yeah, and then I think back then it wasn't it the Mars Hill School of Theology or something. And now he has the Dan Allen School of Counseling. He has something different. Anyway, but I love the fact that she has gone to pursue it. And I remember her emailing me a long time ago saying, you know, I have no idea how we can do this financially or any other way, but I feel like it's something we need to do and that she needs to do. And she has been doing it. And she just said it has been amazing. What she has learned has felt like knowledge that has been waiting for her. And she has been, as she's been doing this, she's just been talking with her friends. And she just said she can feel the effect of her life starting to increase as she simply just talks to her friends in friendship with the things that it's unlocking. So I love that Yvette is pursuing that. And again, it felt to her, she said, it felt insurmountable, something like, I can't even start. It will be too expensive and too hard. And yet she did, and already she has had the kind of the witness of the Spirit that, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. Just, I love that Yvette's doing that.
Yeah, in fact, Yvette wrote an email to Gary, and Gary forwarded it to me because it was just so encouraging. She was talking about it. She said, and I'm going to quote part of her email. She said, being able to see and help others connect dots feels amazing. She says, I would describe it like when you hit the sweet spot on a tennis racket and the ball just goes flying. A good hit sends the ball with no reverb in your hand, just an amazing sound. She said, well, that happens for me in a group counseling setting, and it's divine. I just love that way she said, it's divine. Because
yeah.
I think that's the right word. But when we're walking in our calling, it is divine. It's more than just a natural set of gifts. It's a spiritual set of gifts. Anyway, I just wanted to end with that word. She said, that happens for me in a group counseling setting, and it's divine.
Yeah. Yep. So, okay, so let's balance back and forth between other stories that we know of, and then we may mention them. If it's somebody on the phone, we may mention enough and invite you to say more, and then if you don't, we will say more, or those who are not on the phone at this point. But let's go between those stories and our own. So, Sam, like, what are you pursuing right now? What are you? And I know the answer to that, but I'll let you say it.
Okay. So everybody knows, not everybody, but a lot of you know that I wrote a book last year about hearing God, and Hearing God in Conversation is what the book is called. And I was really excited about it, but right now it's in a lull period because the publisher's looking it over. It's not going to come out till July. They've mostly done all their edits. And I've sort of been taking a break, but during the last 9 months or so, I've just talked to so many Christians who don't have a plan for reading Scripture. You know, they'll read the one-year Bible for half a year, and then they get bogged down halfway through Isaiah and the dog days of summer, and they give up. Or they don't know what to read. And I guess I always thought I was the only spiritual dweeb in the world who had no clue how to read Scripture. And so I never told anybody, but about 20, 25 years ago, I put together my own little Scripture reading plan that goes through all of Scripture at my own pace. It has a mixture of meditation and journaling, and I never told a soul about it. I never even told my wife. You know, we've been married for 33 years. I never told her about my Scripture plan. And then just last summer, she was saying, you know, I don't know how to read Scripture. I don't know what to do. I said, well, let me tell you sort of what I do. And she started doing it, and she loves it. She hasn't missed a day. And I realized I have a passion because I believe we can hear God in Scripture. And so I have spent quite a bit of time last fall putting this plan together in a way that works for other people. Hired a graphic artist to help me put together the plan in a presentable, easy-to-use way using bookmarks that you can put in your Bible. And either next week or the following week, I'm just going to be publishing it. And I'm really excited. I mean, for quite a few years, I start every day with reading Scripture, but I like it because I got a plan that works for me. I don't have to read 27 chapters. You know, I can read at my own pace, and I have a way of journaling. And I feel like this is part of on my heart because I wrote a book about hearing God, but it's always started with hearing God in Scripture. I've learned to hear God. And so I've just been putting together this plan. I call it the Scripture Meditation Plan. And I got to tell you, I think it's really good. And I'm really excited to share this with people. And I don't know, you know, maybe 10 people will use it, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. I don't know. But it's a good plan. It's something where I wake up every morning and I really enjoy it. I look forward to waking up and reading Scripture using this plan, using the approach that I never told a soul about. Gary and John have known me, and I never told them about it until I think last September.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm so glad you're doing this. I'm in fact, Dan Ainsworth just said, the questions that Sam gives you to ask yourself while reading Scripture have been a shot in the arm for me. Thanks, Sam. It's just so good. I love it that this idea has been spawned out of the book and other times in your life, and now you're just doing it. You know, I think it's great. And the other thing, Sam, that maybe not everybody knows is that Sam and John and I have been talking to an acquaintance of ours who has been really trying to have a ministry with people, but, you know, it just is becoming apparent with us that there's not a lot of grounding in Scripture, and it's getting kind of away from the foundations, really, of the gospel, of what Scripture says. And we don't think it's for any, you know, ill intent whatsoever. It's just simply out of ignorance of the fundamentals, if you will, of Scripture and how to interpret Scripture and that type of thing. So that feels like a reinforcement of what God has put on your heart to do right now.
You know, I appreciate you bringing that up, Gary, because I do see so many people who who are going off the track that they don't need to. They're sort of getting off track. And I think part of it's just because they don't know how to read Scripture in a way that brings life. And so therefore they listen to their own thoughts and their own imagination about things. But they don't have to. I think there's a voice that God speaks to us that it's fun. It's not berating. It's not lectures. It's mostly a voice of comfort and grace and truth and joy and life. But I think that if we don't know how to hear that, we're going to hear something else that brings us comfort, joy, and life, which is not always the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I it's not only good because it's just good, but it's also good because it keeps us off the going off the tracks.
Yep. Okay, so let me, and then John, I'm going to ask you after I'm going to talk about Dan Ainsworth for a minute. And Dan, you can get on. We'd love to hear some from you, and if you don't, that's fine. I'm going to talk about you. So let me speak about Dan for a minute. You know, a long time ago, God put on Dan's heart to start communicating to his circles of friendship about this life of grace and love and freedom and living as a son under a gracious, loving father and you know, kind of revealing the religious spirit that lies over so many people, their lives, their hearts, their understanding. And I just really admire that Dan just goes after this. He has been writing blogs for over a year. I don't know if it's been years, but over a year, really consistently, always speaking out of his own story and experience and his encounter with Scripture and with God. And he does, you know, these things both in video and sometimes just in writing and sometimes in both. And I just really admire that he does that. Dan, I think it's great that you do that. And also, he was out here a while back, and we got together, and he was just talking about one of his desires. I don't know if it was a dream, but at least a curiosity and a desire was to see what real movies are like. And he actually has been an extra on two different movies in the South.
No.
I just think it's, oh yeah, you have to hear the stories. They're pretty amazing. In fact, one was even produced by, and he was the main actor, was the guy that does those commercials for those cars. He's in a lot of movies. It's for Lincoln or something. He's always sitting there talking quietly, rubbing his fingers together as he's driving. Anyway, I can't think of his name. Dan may put it on the web page for us to see. So I love that Dan's going after it. He's just doing it, you know.
No, and I like that too, because Dan just started blogging on his own. He started doing video blogs, and he's doing written blogs, and he's just doing it. He's learning by experience. He's learning. I'm sure he has 1,000 different lessons he's learned just in the time he's done it to improve his connection with people, his readers, his listeners.
Yeah. And what I so admire, too, is the fact that, you know, we've talked to Dan, and he said, gosh, you know, the numbers haven't grown that much. But you know what? He just is faithfully just riding to help people and not worrying about it. I mean, of course, we see numbers. But I just love that he's really hanging in there. Yeah, Lisa, well, a number of people told me that's Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Everybody's telling me that. So, yeah, that I just, yeah, he's got stories. He always, Dan always has stories, so we know that. So I see that it looks like Candace is on the phone. So, Candace, I know it's Brad's phone, but I think it's you. So I'll tell you what. Let me take you off mute. And so talk to us.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thanks. I've had this calling to be using my own original songs. I've been in the same church for 30 years, and I started singing and songwriting as a 12-year-old, but I wasn't a Christian yet. So, and now I'm almost 60. So when I turned 16 is when I really came into a personal relationship with Jesus. My whole life turned around. And so all the songs I've written since then are 90% that's what they're about. And so I've really had this desire because it's like I know that I'm called to, you know, we're called to be fishers of men, but I'm always at church. I mean, I'm always where with fish that are already caught. And you know, and so I just know this needs to be out there, but it's a little bit crazy because, you know, because you're taking it gospel-drenched words into a secular environment. So I don't really fit in a club scene type situation. I just don't fit. But I found a spot that's really been delightful for me, and it's a Starbucks lobby that has a grand piano. I play piano and sing. And it's in a children's hospital in the Starbucks lobby, and it's just perfect because the people who come in are, you know, they're just either they're doctors or nurses or parents. And today there were little kids. It's so sweet because these little kids that are often their siblings of whoever the patient is, and they'll start dancing. And and I do quite a bit of it just instrumentally because, you know, I'm just trying to read the room and minister to the people, right, whatever they need right now. And I had one man it was a couple, and this man came up and he said, I just could have listened to you for hours. Thank you for playing. And then she said something about being kind of stressed out, and as soon as she heard it, she started to relax. And so anyway, it's just been really good.
Candace, I think
this is
that
Brad. I'm going to jump in here, too.
Go ahead.
This is Brad. I just wanted to – she didn't mention she also had an opportunity this last week to perform in a more public venue. There's a lunchtime sack lunch concert at a pretty nice venue, and she just had an opportunity last week to do her music there. And I think it was a learning experience, but I think it was a blessing for all of us. Anyway, I get a break.
This is a fabulous way of getting out into the world. I mean, you know, as Candace was saying, you know, a lot of my connections now are the caught people, as Candace was saying. And what a great idea for you to be able to just get out and meet other people, just everyday people out there. I think that's fabulous, Candace. So let me ask you just one question. What is the biggest difficulty? Let's just stick with, say, the Starbucks in the hospital, right?
Yeah. In both cases, the biggest difficulty is, you know, I've been really cloistered at a church that's very nurturing and supportive. And to just get out there where you have to be more professional, you have to be you know, really a musician who's performing in a really professional way. The problem is I don't have the experience yet, and that's going to take time. it's already getting better. I started doing this every week last fall, but I think it's something that takes years, really, to really learn how to be with and read an audience and, you know, really be kind of intimate with them. Performers who do that well have been doing it for years, and often
okay.
they're completely unknown until they have done it for years.
Okay,
because
so
it takes a
I
long
love
time.
That. So part of you saying an obstacle is you just haven't had the experience. But
yeah.
How do you overcome that obstacle?
I just need to be out there all the time, every week.
You need to take a risk, right? I mean, it's,
exactly.
it's just
it's
like
scary.
It's just like Gary was saying about Dan Ainsworth blogging all the time. He just has to do it, even though sometimes it may not be perfect. But you gain that experience.
Yeah, I definitely flubbed it up a lot. You know, I mean, that's how you get there.
Yeah. It can be. Thank you so much.
Learn by mistakes, I guess. You're welcome. Thank you.
This is a great example. I am very inspired by the way you did this, just something so publicly and so out in the world. I think it's terrific.
Yep.
I know that Gary's going to ask some questions of Dan. I think it's Dan. But Candace, I want to say that you've inspired me. I want to figure something out like you've been doing.
Exactly. So good, Candace. So, okay, John, real quickly, share yours. What is kind of the big or small step you've taken towards this idea, desire, dream, whatever?
Well, you know, I think everybody knows I've been working on the book for 10, 15 years now, and I got it to a point where I thought it was finished about 3 or 4 years ago, and I just wasn't happy with it at all. And I just let it set, and then I began to go back in the last year, and I just took the whole thing apart, put it back together again, and finally had it. I now have it at a point where I'm somewhat happy with it. I'm ready for help from a good professional editor. So that's where I am right now. I'm in the process of finding an editor and trying to get that process started so I can get some feedback from it. But where this leads into my passion is just, you know, I run into so many guys. I go to lunch with them or their clients that come by the office or somehow we get into a conversation and they begin to express. It's kind of like what you were talking about, Dan, a while ago, Gary, this religious spirit, this performance-based Christianity, this lifeless Christianity that so many guys are living. And I just want to sit down and I think, I have so many things I want to say to you, and I can't do it in one session. And I thought, I need to put this all in a book so that I can begin to take guys through this in sort of a systematic way and lay down the framework so that they can get an understanding of the freedom that we have in Christ, the life that we can actually live that's abundant. So anyway, that's where I am. That's what my desire is. We'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah. Yep, I'm so glad you're doing that. You could have just put that book away. You could have, like, said, hey, let sleeping dogs lie. Just let it down. Don't wake it up. But I'm so glad you're doing that. So glad. So, hey, as we go
just a minute.
You got it.
By the way, John, I haven't told you I've read the first two chapters, and I really like it.
Oh, good.
So I meant to email you and tell you that. But now I want to ask Gary a question before he goes on.
Okay.
But I wanted to tell you that. So, Gary, so far you've heard a few different stories. What do you say you see right now as a common thread? See, this is not in the script, you guys, because we don't have a script. So I just love stumping Gary. And John can answer, too. What do you see as a common thread?
Part of my confusion is I'm looking at a list of names that I've written down of people I know doing things. So now I'm thinking of all these stories, and I'm trying to think of a common thread.
It can be among those stories that we haven't heard yet. I'm easygoing sometimes.
Well, yeah, okay. So some of the stories we haven't mentioned yet, but I'm looking at these. They're stories of people stepping into training. You know, I was just going to mention, and I'll do it real quickly right now. We have Vern Heinemann, Barry Morgan, David Geyer, Yvette Bone, they're all going after training. Most of them formal, degrees, certificates, that kind of thing. I love it. I mean, there's a theme of I'm going to pursue my preparation to pursue what's my dream is, my idea. And, of course,
and
risk is
all,
a big thing.
And they're all in their later stages of life, at least at the midpoint or beyond.
Mm-hmm. What were you thinking, Sam?
I think I'm thinking people are just doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, Lisa Stapp said it right. The common thread is people are taking risks. Lisa, that's exactly what I meant. Everybody's taking a risk. Education may be a risk. Playing music publicly may be a risk.
Mm-hmm.
Me telling the world about the secret little Bible study plan that I've had for 25 years and I've never told a soul, but telling people is a risk. Everybody's taking a risk. Going to school is taking a risk. Am I going to fail? Is it going to cost me money? Everybody's taking risks. And I think that's what we end up having to do. So, Lisa,
right.
You nailed it. I give you 100%.
And as Dan said, he said the common thread is coming alive in a dead world. I thought that's just a good way to put that, too, which takes risk. So let me just share mine real quickly, just so it's not I'm talking about everyone else, but I won't mention myself. And then Dan, I'm going to unmute you as soon as I'm done. So real quickly, one of the things that's been on my heart that actually Lee brought up to me first, probably about a year ago, and she said, Gary, why don't you interview people on video, kind of about their story, their journey, into their calling and with God and overcoming and that kind of thing. And I like the idea, but probably in the last 2 or 3 months, that idea has really taken root and has been growing to the point that toward the end of December, I remember looking at my calendar thinking, gosh, I don't have any traveling in front of me. I mean, there's no retreats on the books. Now there actually is probably 5 or 6, which Sam and John don't even know about. You can look on the events calendar. Anyway, but I just said, God, what do you want
right now?
No, you don't. And I said, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And he brought this up, and he said, this is what you're going to do right now. And so I have actually interviewed one person here in Colorado Springs, so it was easier, and I knew I would learn from him. I needed to learn. So I interviewed Gary Wilkerson, who's a friend of mine. He's the pastor of the church we go to. His dad was David Wilkerson, who wrote The Cross and Switchblade and so on. And it was fascinating interviewing him on video and now editing it and finding what's the story theme for him. And so, and then in about 2 weeks, I'm going to fly down to Dallas and do this with Bill Watley. And then I'll leave the next day and I'll drive down to Midland, Texas and do this with Barry Simpson. And then I'll drive the next day and drive up and do this with Michael Williams. And then we'll have 4 in the can. I'm a movie guy now. I can say those terms.
Jeez.
Anyway, and it'll be a massive amount of work in front of me, but I'm really excited about producing these life or calling journey stories. And eventually, you know, and so I have 4 I'm pursuing now. I want to pursue probably a total of 6 this year.
They're sort
what
of
will look like
of what we're talking about here, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm doing, and I'm just doing it with what I got. I'm filming with my iPhone and my iPad, and I'm using, you know, the editing software I have and bought a little bit more equipment, but it's fun. We'll see what comes out of it. At least I'm going to learn. So it's good. Okay, Dan, I'm going to unmute you right now. You are unmuted, Dan. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, good to hear. I'm enjoying hearing from everybody else. This is me. I like this. Let me tell you some quick things that's happened. The movie thing, that was just on my bucket list. And, yes, I did rub shoulders with Matthew McConaughey. And my wife didn't want me to wash that shoulder for 2 weeks. Since I never kicked it over. But anyhow, the blog is something that's near and dear to me. And, yeah, Sam, you know how all that goes and everything. It's never perfect. It could always be improved and all that kind of stuff. But it's going back to my struggles, and, you know, Noble Heart helped me come out of that, of the religious world, as trying to preach and trying to be the answer man, and other preachers saying, you've got to study for hours. You've got to do this, this, and this. And I get that, but so many times when something would just pop up in my head, and I'd go, wow. And I'd tell a story, and there'd be a scripture in my head. So, boom, that's what my blog is. Tell a quick story and apply scripture to it. And a lot of people get it. You know, a lot of people are responding to it, and I'm pleased with that, you know. So I don't sit down and study. It just happens. The one this week where I actually caught the bat, you know. That's how the blog works. I caught a bat. Wow, I wonder how that was hiding. And then it turns into, I wonder what's hiding in my heart. And then there's a scripture I have. You know, well, if it's something serious like that, not too many people respond, and not a whole lot of people read it. You know, they'd rather watch the cat walk on Jell-O pop thing, you know, and I'm okay with that. So I kind of split the difference. Sam, I love just the little bit that I got from you on the ways to do scripture. You know, but if I tried to promote that, I don't think I can. You can, but I don't think I can. Now, if I could tie in promoting Sam's scripture with that cat walking on Jell-O, maybe I'd have something going then. You know, that might be a future blog somehow. But the people, here's where I'm coming from. I feel like God has put people in front of me that gives me an opportunity. I was worried so long about being different, about, you know, about doing things Dan's way. Well, that's what God created me to be. And when I say different, I mean from the molded kind of religious preacher type guy. You know what I'm saying? So now I tell a story, put a little scripture to it, and people respond. And those little serious ones that I put out there on the blog and not many people read it, that's the ones I get the most, hey, this is confidential, but let me share something with you. You know, so I forget about the numbers. I just, you know, whatever lands in my hand that day. If it's a bird and I take a picture, then I put a blog out. Or if it's, you know, I guess that, I hope that's making sense to you guys. But there's been a big change in my life because I'm still the same Dan. But now I realize, hey, this is what God wants me to be. Now I just need to go out there and take that risk and do and be what God wants me to be.
So, Dan, what is your – so you've got some hope, you've got some faith, you got a call that you're following, but what is your biggest internal battle as you're doing this? You know, and just being honest, you know.
I still wish I could get what's the right word to use from the religious people, approval. They don't like my blog. You know, they don't care that I can take a scripture and use a little story. It's got to be more precise. It's got to be more by the book, so to speak, you know. And I wish I could still kind of connect with those guys, but I guess I'll always be different. But I don't want to be by the book. I want to be by God. I don't want to be.
But I think you want to connect with them, and let me speculate.
Mm-hmm.
My knowing you, you're not trying to connect with them because you want more numbers. You're trying to connect with them because you think this will bring them more life.
Mm-hmm.
Just being
exactly.
Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. When they're up there preaching about the Beatitudes and they're reading, you know, and I'm looking at everybody falling asleep. I'm like, am I the only one that can see this? You know, and then it sounds like I'm getting on to them when I go up and say, man, you know, and I share some things with them, and I just – you know, there's just a little gulf there. I wish I could connect more with religious people. And that boils down to I've experienced so much more here the past few years, and Noble Heart's a big part of that. So, you know, that's why I'm wanting them to experience what I've experienced.
That's great.
That is good. Dan, thank you, buddy. Thank you for sharing
that.
Oh, yeah. That's very inspiring. So let me now let me mention another one, and I'm going to mention it simply because Lisa Stapp, who I want to talk about, and her husband Steve, live in Australia, and actually the very center of Australia. They did live in Colorado Springs, and so just real quickly, their story is they moved out there. They felt like God was saying, "I want you guys to come out here." And from what they have described, it feels very, very isolated. I mean, they are so far away from anyone in every direction. and kind of wondering why God brought them out there. But they have recently started a grief recovery group with some people. And it's something I know Lisa said they've been talking about, wondering about, but they wanted to make sure the timing was right. God was in this. He was saying it was now. And as you can imagine, that's just a very tough thing to do when you have a group of people and you're going into people's deepest griefs that are willing to go there. And that means you have to go into yours as well. And I love the fact that they are stepping out and they are doing this. My hat is off to that, and my hands are clapping for Lisa, you, and Steve doing this. I just think that's such a great thing that you are doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I echo that. I mean, there's a number of things that you can do that are hard, but they're sort of fun and stuff. But to keep going back into your own grief in order to bring other people up and other to share with other people, to bear their burden, that takes a lot of courage and strength. And it's admirable. So. Is somebody on the phone?
Sorry. I had to, my daughter, I had to make sure she could get in the front door, so.
Okay.
So I'm sure your comment was profound. I just missed it. But yay, way to go, Sam.
It was deeply profound. I'm still shaking.
Oh, my goodness. I'm hanging up right now.
Okay, so we are about the end of the time. But you know what? Let me okay, so Bill Watley's on the phone. Now, if Bill, you want to get on and talk, share something, you're welcome to do that, of course. As we
Bill, get on.
But, okay, so I'll talk slowly so you'll have a chance. You know, before I say before I say something about Bill, let me just mention a few that aren't on the phone but have some similar things going on. And that is, for instance, Tom Mills, who came to the base camp gathering, the one last one we had. And he, if you heard him, we did a show where several people were sharing some things that God had done in their heart. And this was a turning point for him, as he has admitted there. And he has been writing. He has written several chapters in a book about his own life, and he is a psychologist by trade and by training. And he's going after it. I love it that he's doing that. David Ellis, who was also there, decided there that God had put some things that he needed to write in a book, and he's writing as well. In fact, I think he's – Sam, hasn't he kind of written the whole book as first draft?
He has.
Now?
And,
yeah.
You know, he's just really gone after it full speed. And from what I can tell, from what I've heard, I haven't read it yet. He's offered to, but I haven't read it. He hasn't sent it to me yet. It's really good. And he's,
yeah.
And he's just poured his heart into it.
Yep.
He's like – he said he went on this base camp retreat, and he's a changed man. Nothing has changed him so much as that one weekend.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. And then, you know, Bruce Pepin, we've interviewed him on the Campfire Conversation. He's a member. And, you know, he wrote this book called The Best Is Yet to Be. And he, as he's in his other job, he's really trying to build, you know, knock on every door he can, build a ministry towards kind of second half people and their ministry and what God has for them. So there's a few guys right there. And then we have Bill Watley, not saying that as the opposite of all of this, but I love
the culmination.
The culmination, there's a good word. But I love, Bill, the fact that, you know, here you are holding down your own business that you've developed and you're growing, and your work with men, which is such a huge part of your heart, just grows and grows and grows. And I know from our conversations that you've had with me and Sam and John that, you know, you're up against a lot of things in this, especially with the church that you guys go to, as far as how you do it, but you just stay in there with the men, and you're developing something that's changing lives and huge. So I think that's great.
Did you unmute him?
No, did he, is he on?
Yeah, just like, I'll unmute him. I see one
okay.
from Texas, so I'm guessing Bill is from Texas, right, Bill?
I am.
There he is.
The same great state Matthew McConaughey is from.
And you look just like him.
Yes, yes.
At least that's what your wife says. Anyway, okay. So tell us a little bit about, jump in with what we're talking about.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier about some themes and stuff, and what I was thinking the whole time was paddle out in deeper water and quit fishing out of the live well. And that's kind of where I feel like God's moving our ministry right now, is kind of outside the walls of our church. And that has shown up in several ways. Some is about 35% of the men that came to our annual conference this year were outside of our church. Some other things within the church seem to be closing some doors, not in a harsh way, but just some, you know, the church has an idea and the church has a plan of what they're doing, and that doesn't always align specifically with what we're doing. So we have that little bit of struggle there.
Right.
When it comes to my business, God is beginning to close that door. Over the last few months, I think he's been closing that door for a while a little bit, and I'm wondering what this rash is on my leg, and it's the door rubbing on my foot. My wife and I have been talking about that a lot, and she asked me the other night, she goes, well, what would you do if you sold your business? And I kind of said, I don't know. But I say I don't know out of the fact that, because I received her question as, what would I do for a living,
right,
if I didn't have that business?
For an income.
And sometimes that's not the question. Sometimes the question is, where's God leading your heart? And, mm-hmm. and what's that about, you know? And I've got the ranch thing that's been on my heart for a while, and we talked about some things with it, with the rest of the family. And got a big green light there, so... I don't really know where that all's going to take me. I think the ministry takes more and more of my time, and when I maintain my time with my wife, then the only other place that comes from is work. And so I've been less and less involved in day-to-day activities at work, and a little more involved in ministry and stuff around the house. So
yeah.
Kind of my spot where I'm at right now. It's like what I was looking over your email, Gary, about, you know, when we're going to do our interview here in a couple of weeks. And there's some pretty pointed questions in there. So I look at those and I think, man, he's one of the, tell me a time in your life when you had a big change or a big turn. You know, I think I'm right in the middle of a turn. I'm trying to navigate the car and Gary wants to ask me questions.
And put it on film for the world to see.
And put it on film to be. There you go.
Well, that's great, because you're just being around you. You know, you're a person. You feel it and you see it. A person who pursues God, and you know what He's holding out in front of you. And so it's just fun watching you. So, yep.
Yeah, and you know, Bill, I think that you're an anointed person. God has anointed you in some way. He set you apart for something. And
mm-hmm.
I know that it's more fun when we know exactly what it is, but you know, maybe it's more exciting when we don't.
Yeah.
But I really believe that you're anointed. That God has something for you, for us through you.
Thank you. I wonder sometimes if my faith is thinner than the veil, you know, and it's a little bit of that fear, but, you know, I think back to the deal about courage is not so much about the absence of fear as it is the willingness to step into it, and
mm-hmm. absolutely.
So I get to battle with that too, you know. I've talked with a lot of guys who struggled or were at the time struggling with their life and what they're going to do next, and because they're about my age or older, and always had something decent to say somehow, you know. I think that's God mostly. And then I look at that and I say, boy, am I going to say that to myself now when things begin to take a turn? So
yeah,
it's a big point in my life right now, and I don't know where it's going to go. So it's a little exciting. I know some days I get home from work, I'm tired, I'm worn out, just been stressed and all the stuff that comes with that. And I get home and I'm like, oh, it's group night, you know, the guys are coming, and I'll get some water and straighten up the room a little, the war room out here a little bit where we meet. And by 10 o'clock, I can't even go to sleep. I am energized, man. It just brings life back to me to share some life with guys. So.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, Bill, thank you. Thanks for sharing that. That's really good. Thanks. So, okay, so now just to wrap up our time here, so one of the things David Geyer said, who's listening, he said, you know, I don't know most of the guys here, but it's really cool and motivating to hear about how you are all creating, risking, offering, and doing what you love. This is great. And, yeah, David, this is really good because, again, I think we miss how much is really going on here. That because part of it is we don't share it because we think it's nothing, it's small, it's not worth sharing. And then secondly, we don't communicate that often with each other as a group. So I just think we just thought this would just be a fun idea to share some of these stories of what we're doing. And we may do this again in another couple of months because there's so many people that we missed with details.
Right.
So any last thoughts from
you
guys?
We missed David Geyer. Because David has a good story to tell, too, so we got to make sure we get him on next time. He's
okay.
Doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and the fact that he's pursuing this training, this degree in counseling, and, oh, that's just huge, huge, I think. So, Sam, John, any final thoughts?
I do think we need to do this in about 6 months because this has been so encouraging, and it makes me want to go out and jump off a cliff and take some risk.
Did you miss the point of the call, the significant things we're trying to do for the kingdom?
I don't think you called jump off a cliff yet.
At least make sure you have a parachute, you know, for base jumping kind of thing.
Yeah.
I still think that one of the keys here is people taking a risk.
Yeah.
As Lisa Stapp said, I think the common theme is people are taking a risk and stepping out and doing something. And
yeah.
And there's just great rewards in it. Even in the failures, there's great rewards. So the failures aren't failures.
Yeah. And Bill Watley had a great comment here. He said, I remember with Keith Medley. Now, Keith Medley is the guy who developed the 27-string guitar, and we've had him on a couple times. You may remember him. Well, he came to this base camp gathering we did for the first time. So Keith is saying, I remember what Keith said at the base camp gathering before he started his talk, and he said, you guys are doing this, and you're beating yourselves up because you're not doing more. And again, Keith was just amazed, saying, I'm hearing your stories, and I'm not around that many people that are just out doing stuff, you know, with God, the life of God in them for the kingdom. And it was interesting because as an outsider, if you will, he could see things that we couldn't see in our own community in such a positive way, and he was calling it out. So, good words. Good words. So, all right, everyone, thank you. This has sure been fun. We'll plan on doing this in about 6 months or so, and hope to see you next Thursday. By the way, we're starting the online calling course February 23rd, I think it is. So, now we call it the online calling intensive workshop because we're calling the calling retreat, calling intensive workshop that's live. So, anyway, we'd love for you to help promote this to your friends. I sent an email out, I think, early this week, and you could forward that. So love your help on that one. So, all right, John, Sam, thank you so much. Everyone, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everybody.